Rick and I are going to be preaching about various songs of Advent. This week we'll have the Song of Mary, or the Magnificat. The second week we'll be looking at the Song of Zechariah. The third week will be the angel's song to the shepherds. And the fourth week will be Simeon's song. Let us go to God in prayer now to prepare us for the word. Heavenly Father, speak through me the words that you want me to say. Open our hearts and minds to understand your message that's being given through your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Today's reading is found in Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 56, page 1457 in your pew Bible. Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Becky, for reading that. What do we know about Mary? This is the second sermon I've done on Mary in my lifetime, considering I haven't been preaching that long. But I've learned lots of things about Mary, and I don't know if you realize all those things as well. Scholars believe that Mary was around 12 to 14 years old. That means she was barely a teenager. Her family tree goes back to King David. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. A betrothal is a year binding commitment to each other with the intent of marriage. Maybe we can compare it to an engagement, but in those days, a betrothal could only be broken by a divorce. And breaking a betrothal would cause major embarrassment for all involved. Young Mary was told she would have the Son of God. What a responsibility and a heavy weight, such pressure. Mary knew women that were found to be pregnant outside of marriage could be publicly stoned. That would be Mary. But Mary was a humble servant. She was devoted to God, and she was willing to be used by God to fulfill his promise. Now, the people of Israel were under the rule of the Romans at this time. And the Israelite people were eager to be free from this domination over them. And in those days, transportation by Jewish people was usually by foot. Occasionally, a donkey or a camel might be used. The terrain and roads were rough, making travel even more difficult. Commentators believe that Mary traveled 80 to 100 miles on foot to get to Elizabeth's home. This would have taken 5 to 6 days to get there. Remember, she is early in her pregnancy. I hope she didn't have morning sickness. Commentators mention that Joseph might have gone with her and then returned home. You know, I never really thought about Joseph going with her when I've read that text, but it makes a lot of sense. Would he let the Christ child and his betrothed go 80 to 100 miles on foot alone? Doubtful. The fact that Elizabeth was beyond childbearing age and now pregnant, and Mary was now pregnant through the Holy Spirit, both of these were a miracle. It's still a miracle. The reason for this visit is not clear to commentators. There are a variety of thoughts as to why Mary left suddenly to visit her cousin 100 miles away. Some speculate that this would keep Mary and Joseph from disgrace and pinpointing a time of conception. Others believe that Mary wanted to confirm what the angel had said to her. And although many commentators believe that Mary did truly believe what the angel said to her, when she replied in Luke 1:38, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." But Mary would most likely have wanted to check up on this miracle concerning her cousin also being pregnant. And the two of them would be able to walk through these amazing pregnancies together. Commentator Fred Craddock sees three parts of this passage, which I will use as my 3 points. First is the visitation. Second is Mary's song. And third is a time of waiting. The visit by Mary could not have been communicated to Elizabeth ahead of time. Remember, this is a time where there was no phones. I don't even think there was mail. It traveled by person. News traveled by person. So the only way to communicate would have come through another person or yourself. And the text said, at that time, Mary got ready, hurried to the town in the hill country of Judea. When I read that, it sounds like soon after she found out she was pregnant, she traveled to see her cousin, Elizabeth. So Elizabeth does not know she's coming. So when Mary walks in to greet her and says, "Hello, cousin Elizabeth," something incredible happens. Elizabeth is filled with the Holy Spirit, and the child within her leaps. Now, those of you that have had children will say, "Well, yeah, I've felt the baby move, kick." But I don't believe this is the same thing. The baby leaped in her womb, and it said she was full of the Holy Spirit. Elizabeth knew that she was in facing the person that was carrying the Lord Jesus Christ without ever being told. That's a miracle in itself. One of my footnotes said, in a mysterious way, the Holy Spirit produced this remarkable response in the unborn baby. Elizabeth exclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear." This must have reassured Mary of what the angel Gabriel had said. It was all true, but it must have also caused her to understand the immense promise that the child of God was growing inside of her. Elizabeth goes on to say, "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." Commentator Chelsea Harmon believes this isn't just a blessing like "the Lord bless you," but recognizing that Mary is in a blessed state. Elizabeth's words come from the Holy Spirit, and they're spoken like a prophet, just like the one whom she carries within her own womb. This was their initial greeting before any sharing or discussion had occurred. Elizabeth, the older cousin, humbles herself before young Mary. Now, in those days, that's countercultural. It probably is in this day too, but we don't see it quite as dramatically. Elizabeth probably could have been a grandmother or a great-grandmother. She was beyond childbearing years. And she's humbling herself to a 12 to 14-year-old. But it mimics what's happening, because just as she is carrying John the Baptist, who will humble himself before Jesus Christ. And it was an altogether natural that she needed to talk and seek the help and love of fellowship of others. And the result was an outpouring of song. I believe we all need the fellowship of the body of believers as we walk in the footsteps of Jesus. God is calling us to humility and faith that will endure through every hardship and trial in life. Mary's song, otherwise known as the Magnificat, it's a famous song throughout all the Christian world. N.T. Wright says, "It is the gospel before the gospel was even written." He also says that Mary's song echoes Jesus' preaching. Now, Mary appears to be well-versed in the scriptures because her song is comprised almost entirely from the Old Testament. I'll try not to move. Mary's song also echoes Hannah's song from 1 Samuel 2. But all this knowledge tells me something of her upbringing. In those days, it was only the boys who were educated, not the girls. They stayed at home, cleaned house, had the babies. But Mary must have heard something. She must have heard about the Old Testament and learned the scriptures and the songs of the Psalms. Mary knew that God had promised to rescue his people. And now she is being asked to carry the rescuer. Let's look at her song. Some might say, well, that's Mary's song. She's carrying the baby. That's her song. But commentator John Stott says, no. Mary does have a unique experience that no one else will have. But there is a typical experience of every Christian believer. God has done this great thing for Mary, but he has also lavished his grace on all of us. At the beginning of the song, Mary speaks in the first person, praising God for the blessing of carrying his son. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. I wonder, how often do we rejoice when we're handed a difficult situation? When money's tight, do we give thanks for what we have in our possession, knowing that it's a gift from God? When we receive bad news from the doctor, are we able to be grateful for what we have presently instead of what we might not have in the future? Mary was in a very difficult situation. But I don't hear Mary say, why me, God? Why me? Why do I have to go through this? And then what about her thoughts? I could get killed for this. God, are you putting me through this? I could get killed. I could lose my own life. What will happen to your child then? How am I going to tell Joseph? How would he ever understand? How will we tell our parents? How could we afford this child? But no, Mary, she glorifies the Lord and says, the Mighty One has done great things for me. Wow, that is so hard to do. But I believe we're given this song to remind us of how Mary acted so that we can follow her example with the help of the Holy Spirit. When we get to verse 50, Mary's song goes into third person. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. In this song, God is turning man's values upside down. Fred Craddock says that God is being praised for what he has done establishing justice and peace, not just what will happen in Mary's life, but also for the future. The language is all encompassing from past, present, and future. And several commentators reflect on the momentum of the lowly being raised and the lofty brought down. Verse 52 says, he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. This is a call to us to be humble and repentant before God. But a second revolutionary thing that she sings about is that he will fill the hungry with good things, but send the rich away empty. In the voice version of the Bible, it had these footnotes. Mary's response can't be contained in normal prose. Her noble soul overflows in poetry. And this poetry isn't simply religious. It is a powerful social and political overtones. It speaks of a great reversal, what might be called a social, economic, and political revolution. To people in Mary's day, there is little question to what she's talking about. The coming of the Christ child means that the oppressed, poor, and the hungry will be blessed. But don't misunderstand me. These blessings do not mean necessarily material wealth. And the hunger here is not just physical hungry belly. It's also a spiritual hunger. The kingdom of God will bring changes that affect every area of their lives. And it brings changes for us in every part of our lives as well. Mary sings of the reversal of the norm. Notice it is a message in Luke unlike anything that the world ever teaches us. Our culture tells us, make money, get rich, and do it on your own. This is the message that we are receiving from the prophets, from Mary and Jesus. That God's blessings overflow for the humble and the hungry, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we grow daily in our walk with God. Now, after Mary's song, it says she waits. Mary waits for Jesus to come. Mary waits for justice and mercy. She waits for what God has in store for her in the days and years ahead. Mary stayed with Elizabeth in Judea for the next 3 months and then returned to her home in Galilee. Now, we really don't have a lot of information about what happened in those 3 months that Mary stayed with her cousin. But a commentator reflects that this quiet time may have been needed for Mary to prepare herself for the greatest events that would follow. Mary is deeply moved by these amazing encounters, first with the angel and then with her cousin Elizabeth. So much to think about. Mary needs to wait for this baby. She needs to wait for the coming of the Lord. The words of David in Psalm 40 may have been some of Mary's words too. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and mire, and he set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Whether Mary realized it or not, her waiting and reflecting would be noticed by generations to come. And whether we realize it or not, the world is watching us. We're waiting for the second coming of Jesus when peace, justice, and mercy will prevail. The world is also waiting for peace, justice, and mercy to come. As Mary waits, we wait. But what will the world see as we wait? Are we waiting for Jesus to come? Are we waiting for his justice and mercy? Or are we holding on to the things of this world? What does the world see when they look at you? Mary has been remembered as a humble and faithful servant of God. Mary, the mother of Jesus, took risks, following God with the help of the Holy Spirit. With the help of the Holy Spirit, Mary obeyed and continued to trust God, even when she saw her son hanging on a cross. Mary followed Jesus' footsteps until she went home to be with her Heavenly Father. What about us? Are people seeing us following in Jesus' footsteps? Does the world see us waiting and working for God? Or does the world see us scrambling around, trying to look better and become richer, do better in our job? Are we showing mercy to the poor, the immigrant, and the prisoner? Or are we speaking of these people as different and undeserving because, well, they made bad choices? Congregation, God calls us to be like Mary, growing in our faith. He calls us to pray. He calls us to serve, and he calls us to wait with the help of the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may our souls find rest in God because our hope comes from him. For he is our rock and our salvation. He is our fortress. We will not be shaken. Help us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit to walk in your footsteps. Amen.